Numerology is a system of ancient codes found in our birth information that gives insight to the lessons we each must learn in this lifetime. Elizabeth Summers is a medium and esoteric numerologer offering her knowledge of ancient wisdoms to help fellow travelers towards a more enlightened and peaceful path. Join her now for the magical world of numbers.
If you sign up for my newsletter, know that I can also, we're just having some technical difficulties, so I apologize for the hesitancy here. So hold on. Okay, I think we're all straightened out. Oh, praise the Lord. And so know that I, that if you go to one of my two websites, either one will work, the Magical World of Numbers or the ElizabethSummers.com, and sign up. It's usually right over there on my front homepage for my newsletter. Then we can keep in touch even more, and I can send you reminders. And I have some really wonderful specials that are going out this weekend for Shop Small Saturday. You know that big thing, and since I have a small company, I participate in that. And so therefore, know that I'm delighted to be with you. And I don't know about you, but I think I'm kind of in the mood to really talk about the number two tonight, and it's kind of a quiet, slow energy. And you know, folks, I think I'm kind of a little number two tonight, a little bit, and it could be that I'm just a little tired from my social schedule. What can I say? But know that I'm in the mood to talk to you about this very gentle vibration that is all about balance. It's all about perhaps moodiness and depression, although I must tell you, I really don't get depressed. I think I there's too much going on in my life and my career and my people and my friends and whatever that I don't kind of go there, but I know many of you just might, and we're going to chat about a couple things tonight. So just kick back, you be gentle and in a kind of a laid back mood, because I kind of feel that way tonight. I'm usually a real firecracker blowtorch. Well, tonight's a little gentle. Maybe it's because a holiday is coming and we all can relax a little bit. And so now that tonight I'm going to talk to you about the number two, which I've been talking about all month. And last week, I talked to you about partners. The number two is about partnership. The number two is about balance and partnerships, which we're going to talk a little bit about tonight more so. And then we took it a step further into the spiritual realm and talked about soulmates, such a misunderstood word. Everybody thinks lovey-dovey is soulmates. No. Soulmates are folks from your karmic group. They're folks that you hang out with in the spirit world. And so, therefore, you have many soulmates. And some of them are not so spiffy doodle, but they are coming in here as a mirror and a reflection of you for you to make some soul growth, some decisions about who you are, where you're going, what it's about. And soulmates can come and go. They're in and out, in and out. They can be sisters, brothers, boyfriends, the person that you work with, the coach that's of the soccer team, anyone that you interact with that you're really learning from is part of your karmic group and potentially is a soulmate. Then we talked about twin flames, which is your other half, so to speak. And we talked about that as far as relationships go in last week's show. That really was on air and can be found in my archives on my website for the November 19th program. So if you missed it, by all means, go and listen to that. I got a lot of comments, emails about all of that. And tonight we're going to talk about balanced partners. Balanced partners. A balanced partner is someone that you meet as you move through your spiritual journey. The number two is about balance. When you are looking for a relationship, you want a shoulder-to-shoulder, balanced relationship. I always tell my people, you want a relationship where you're putting 12 dominoes out of energy and getting 12 dominoes of effort energy back. That's a balanced relationship. And so balanced partners is a technical term. And you move through your life, sometimes from beginning to end, with a friend, with a girlfriend, with a buddy, with someone that you physically or emotionally or spiritually are connected to, and the forging of the connections is permanent. How many of you keep in touch with childhood friends? Or you move over to Connecticut, but you still stay connected to your friends that you made in Colorado. That is a partnership. And as most souls meet their soulmates from other experience, and they can be potentially lovers, a balanced partner is just as important as a lover. Not always is this a romantic situation. So don't get all hung up with the misconception of what people have misconceptions for soulmates. No. This is like a potentially is a buddy. Now, can it evolve? Can the friendship evolve into a love relationship, a lover relationship? Yes. But that's not the focus of it. Balanced partners usually are another aspect of your soul that is appearing now in the third dimension at the same time in the same space that you're in. And it seems to happen by accident. You know, souls meet each other. There's an immediate recognition. And the connection forms very quickly. You kind of attract each other. Because why? You're on the same frequency. You're all on 99.9 FM, so to speak. And you have things that you like to share. And there's synchronicities that can develop between the two of you. And it raises your frequencies higher and higher and higher. You may be able to talk to them spiritually. You may have sports in common. You may have hobbies in common. And you can talk very comfortably with them. And as you do that, there's a peacefulness, there's a balance, there's a non-judgmentalism that comes along. And balanced partners can be of the same sex or the opposite sex, because this is not a sexual partnership. It is more of a spiritual. So therefore know that sometimes, if the relationship is in balance, it's going to grow. You can be best friends for life. Or best friends for whenever. Best friends. But it can have a bad ending if we think that that other person is our twin flame. Oh, my other half. you'll probably wind up having a bad ending because there's usury involved. You would not be taking your own power, your own spirituality. And the flame will go out of the twin flame assumption, I am here to tell you. It's as though you're the other half. Where there's information needed, you can go to your balance partner. That is the technical term for it. And balance partners can make your world really exciting. If sometimes things seem to surface and you feel that you're with the right person at the right time and they complete you, so to speak. But what's happening is there's a triggering of the DNA that is actually balancing out energetically between the two partners. So balance partners can be, you know, your next door neighbor, or they can be on the other side of the world, or they can be on the other side of the country. And you know what's quite interesting? That sometimes balance partners never really meet. They'll talk on the phone. They'll email each other. Their conversations increase and they become more frequent and several times a day, and you're growing and you're talking and you just feel so comfortable for them, and events become more exciting, and yet you don't actually have to physically meet them. I think that's part of the Facebook phenomena. It's part of that interaction on Instagram and Twitter, where we find these partners that we feel comfortable chatting with, and yet you would not physically recognize them if you tripped over them. And so many times, balance partners will have the same, you know, like the same dreams in life. And each of them wants to remember the same sort of situations going on. The cool thing is that, and it goes back again to the Instagram and the Twitter and the Facebook and the whatever, there's this kind of spider web effect that goes on with balanced partners where everybody is linked. And you'll know, because there's some people that you'll chat with and you'll say, well, you know, well, that was nice, and thank you for sharing, kind of thing. But a balanced partner, you want to talk about problems with, you want to talk about advancements with, you want to talk about the good things with, you want to share. And so, therefore, there is no imbalance in your life. Both of you are on the move. The two of you can move faster in your life because there is really a spiritual connection. I mean, we're running our mouths and talking about the kids and what are you doing for Thanksgiving and where are you going to be for Christmas, all that, whatever. But the bottom line is that there is a spiritual connection between the two of you in the first place that gets you moving forward. So if you have, and you can have many more, you can, you know, it's not just one. But if you have a balanced partner or partners, I want you to make it fun. Keep it uncomplicated, or it's going to end. And you know you're going to miss whatever opportunity you had for growth from the soul's perspective. There's no coincidences. I'm a strong believer. I say it all the time. I truly believe it. I've personally experienced it. That souls find each other. Water seeks its own level. And so therefore, no, if you're drowning, you need to think about the partners that you are involved with. Perhaps they're not balanced partners. And that is when you have to take your power, believe in yourself, believe in your own self-worth, and move on in your life. Because they're out there. The balance partners are out there. You know, a couple months ago, I came across an article from the Huffington Post. And it was about relationships. And I knew I was going to talk to you about relationships. And so I have it here, and it has some really very practical. It's like, well, of course. But really? I mean, some of us need a little tune-up connected to our relationships. And we're not just talking about husband and wives. But we are talking about one-on-one, close, emotional relationships that usually leads more specifically to partnerships in some fashion. And so the title of the article from the Huffington Post was The Secrets to a Happy Relationship. Now, we want everybody to be happy. So we all want a happy relationship. And number one, be nice. I mean, seriously, folks, do we need to even say those words? Be nice in your relationships. Choose kindness whenever you can. And you should be at least as nice to your spouse as you would be to a stranger. Sometimes we're really nice when we're starting out, and then we're not so nice sometimes. Enjoy each other's company. Enjoy. The word enjoy is so lovely. E-N is the same as I-N. And so find joy in each other's company. Hopefully that person that you're in a relationship is your best friend. You like to have fun together. You like doing stuff together. You're honest with each other. And you know, you're one-on-one. And here's the one that I think is so often missing. Say, I love you as much as possible. I have heard men say, well, she knows I love her. Well, that might work for you, buddy. But if you were a woman, we need to hear the words. We need to hear the words. Say, I love you as much as possible. Don't overuse it. I mean, seriously. But say it when you mean it. Little twinkle in your eye, little smile. So they know that you really mean it. Look at the person. Not, I love you, and out the door you're going, and they see the back of your head. I don't think so. Look at the person that you're saying I love you to, and say, I love you so much. You mean the world to me. I appreciate all the things you do for me and for our family. The woman says it to the man says it to the woman. Appreciation is exquisitely beautiful vibration. And be honest. Let them know in a nice, gentle, tactful sort of way what is kind of is annoying sometimes. And don't sweat the small stuff, you know. Pick your fights. And be honest about a whole bunch of things. Limit outside influences like mother-in-laws, father-in-laws, sisters, brothers telling you shoulda, woulda, couldas, what they don't like about this and that and the other thing. For some reason, you're with that person, they're with you, back and forth. You're learning from each other. It is by sole agreement that they are in your life. It may not be forever, but in this moment of time, they're there, and you have to limit outside influences. Have little small tokens of love. Little, and I'm going to talk about that at the end of the program here, but have little small tokens of love. They really go a long way. And women do this for the men, and men do this for the women. Small tokens of love. I always have fresh flowers in the house. And I would always send my husband off to his office or have in his office with little bouquets of flowers for his desk. Little bouquet of flowers. The lunch I would pack for him every now and then, I would put a little note in there. Or if I found a funny little something or other, it would be in there. And almost like a surprise when he opened up his lunch and there it was. Those things go a long way. They're small. They're little tokens of love. They are energies of effort that are so important. And they really, you know, got to think about it this way. They are showpieces. They are indications of your emotional diction to the relationship. I'm a firm believer that we need a little break from each other sometimes. So I am a firm believer of letting the guys go fishing with the guys or go to the Bronco game or to do whatever. And the guys have to let the girls go out and have a girl night. No one's going to take off and go home with some other guy or vice versa or whatever. But there's something cathartic about guys being with guys and girls being with girls, and you talk about the silliest stuff, and it's so cleansing and it's wonderful, and then you come home and you're refreshed. You know, Lucille Ball once said that the issue, the primary issue for the breakup, not just this, but he was quite a womanizer and a philanderer. I think that sort of helped the breakup. But she said they were together all the time. All the time. They never had a break from each other. So, a little distance, I personally think, makes the heart grow fonder. Be really kind of realistic. Realistic. Give as much as you possibly can, but remember, it has to be shoulder to shoulder. This is a beautiful word. One of my favorite words when it comes to relationships. And it is the word cherish. Cherish comes from a Latin breakdown that says to hold dear. Cherish each other. Hold each other dear. Don't forget how important the little things are, like a little hug or a compliment. And goes both ways. You really look like a hunk tonight, big guy. Love your shoulders. You are so beautiful. I love your hair that way. I like you without makeup. Whatever, whatever, whatever. I'm a firm believer in details. Think in details. Don't say, you look great, kind of thing. Something in details. That adds meaning to it. Most importantly, I want you to be your own person. You cannot use another person's energies to constantly validate you. That creates negative karma. It shows up in the charts I do for my clients. It's 14-5, and it is usury. If you do these things, you will build a very strong foundation. No marriage is perfect. No relationship is perfect. Only Mother, Father, God is perfect. And that's the way it is. And some astrological signs are known to be perfectionist to make us all a little wackadoo about situations. And so know that work on your relationship, your balanced partnership. I'm going to take a little break. We do have some callers that will have a brief mini reading. And then I want to talk to you a little bit about some moodiness, some exhaustion that comes from relationships. And then I have something that I want to chat with you about gratitude, since we're in the celebration of Thanksgiving, which is about thankfulness and gratitude. I do have a few things to say. We'll be back in 3 minutes. Well, hi there. We're all back, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. And I'm going to take just a couple calls because I have so much I want to chat with you. But when I turn on your microphone, I will identify you by your area code. You come right on the air, speak loud and clear, and I will identify you by your area code. I want your first and middle name, your month and day of birth, and how old you are. And here we go. I am contacting area codes 314. You're on the air. Hello? I don't know where 314 went. She was on for a long time. Let's go to area code 773. Hello? I think there's some technical difficulties on the computer. Because I hear the folks, but they can't hear me. Let me try one more time with area code 314. Are you there? Yeah, I can't get the callers through. I'm so sorry. So we'll just keep on moving right along here. What can I say? The number... You would think we had a Mercury retrograde going on, which we do not. I came on the air and we had some phone problems, and now I can't get my people through. Okay, which takes us to the number two, which is a challenge. Now, the number two is connected to the letters in a birth name, B, K, and T as in Thomas. And this is what I've been chatting about every which way but loose all through November. And when it's a challenge, it becomes like a stumbling block. If there is none of those letters in a birth name, which is your basic suitcase of energies coming into this lifetime, then it becomes what's called a karmic lesson. And it's in your face, in your face, in your face, all over the place. There are formulas which are too, they're not complicated, but I can't teach them to you on the air. Because you don't have the information in front of you to do it. But there are periods in people's lives when they might specifically, in a specific age time frame, experience what's called a challenge, the number two challenge. And when this occurs, the folks are overcoming these situations. They need to overcome these situations. And when they don't overcome these situations, that leads to what we call depression. That leads to exhaustion. That leads to moodiness. And so I thought I would chat with you, okay, what is a challenge? And maybe you're kind of feeling this every now and then. That's not a problem. Sometimes people who, when I add all their vowels together in their birth name, which tells me who they are emotionally. And you can find that out if you have a natal reading with me, a blueprint reading with me. Who are you emotionally as a soul coming in here? It exhibits your feelings, what makes you happy. And it comes from your vowels, which are the heavy hitters. And so know that if a soul that I'm doing a reading for has a two cumulative from all the vowels in their name, if it adds to a number two by formula or adds to a seven by formula, that person has a propensity towards fear, conscious fear vibration emotionally, and therefore they can be more prone numerologically to moodiness, fearfulness, depressed feelings, out of control feelings. The twos and the sevens are really very, very introspective and fearful. They represent fear when they're out of balance. And so if you have a two challenge or a two or a seven soul, very overly sensitive, very aware of other people's expectations. This person suppresses themselves because they try to avoid being conspicuous. And then they get very overwhelmed by their own self-consciousness, and then they fear people are gossiping about them. They can get a little paranoid, and as a result, they become very inhibited. They become depressed. They press themselves down. D-E means down. They press themselves down. And so, therefore, as a result of this suppression of their own individuality and their own uniqueness, they don't blossom. And what they do is they just blend right in with the crowd. You wouldn't know that they were even there. They are denying themselves their own self. They let their own feelings and their emotions play an entirely too big a role. They run on emotion. They cry babies. They are victims. They are poor me's. Remember, I've always told you, there's no victim. There's no such thing as a victim. There are choices that have consequences that weren't exactly spiffy doodle. The hypersensitivity, and all of this is the undercurrent of depression. Now, I'm not a medical doctor. I can give you medical advice. There are certain foods that are very positive to eliminate a lot of this, which hopefully I'll get to in a minute, that you can, and I will post it on my blog, this link on my blog that a friend of mine was kind enough to send to me because as a support for the work that we're doing here tonight. And I'll post it on my blog, go to the link. And if you are kind of in the moody blues, could be your diet. Yes, there's some chemical serotonin and all of that. You need a physical, you need a therapist to help you with that. I'm giving the numerological, emotional situation from a numerological point of view. So this hypersensitivity causes fear and timidity and a lack of confidence. And then all this unnecessary fear and this emotional turmoil makes you feel totally out of control. And when you try to control other people, they're not paying attention to you, which only increases your fear and increases your emotional turmoil. And then the little things seem so disproportionately difficult for you to overcome, and they sometimes paralyze you. I can't do this. I don't know how to do this type of situation. What is very interesting to think about is jealousy. Jealousy can cause a lot of pain. A lot of misunderstanding. Jealousy on your part, well, you know, and she got her job because of this and that and the other thing, and she married a rich man, that's why she has all the bubbles, bangles, and beads, and he this and she that and something else. Both men and women experience this number two challenge. The negative effects really challenge you to focus on the positive, your positive characteristics. And sometimes, folks, you know, you got to fake it till you make it. Self-talk is important. There was a time years ago in my life when I was really very mopey-dopey. Things weren't going right in my life and whatever. Oh, we all have those times. They are growth experiences. And I would walk around my home saying out loud, I am not a victim. I am not a victim. And I was saying it out loud, so I reprogrammed so my ear connected to my subconscious would hear me say, I am not a victim. I do not set up external situations to prove to myself that I have power. And I would say it over and over and over again, because I had to tell myself, but no one else was around, I had to tell myself who I was. I focused on my possibilities, on my positive characteristics, and become aware of who I am, and got silent and quiet and listen. The answers are within. And that situation in my life forced me to go to God. Running, of course, but go to my higher self, to listen to my inner voice to guide me, to get my antenna up, to be more sensitive to other people's feelings, and to make better decisions and judgments. So if you lack inner strength, you must maintain your own center. You must maintain your own core. If you are codependent, and anyone who has a lot of twos in their birth name showing up, you should have only one, B, K, or T. Some people have 3, 4, 5. That indicates they're very codependent on partnerships to validate them. And they will get walked all over like a doormat. If there is no B, K, or T in a birth name, the person has to learn how to be a partner, how to be a team player, how to follow. It's usually when the two is missing, there's usually so many ones because they've been bossy bosses in previous incarnations, and they don't know how to be a team player, how to be in partnerships. That's a major karmic lesson for them to learn. Not easy. The number two in believing in itself, the soul has to set boundaries in all partnerships. Has to learn to say the word no, gently and tactfully, but no. They're fearful. They're afraid to say the word no, because if they say the word no, then the other person won't like me. And I'm afraid if they don't like me, then I don't believe in myself enough that I can, on and on and on and on. Whining, whining, whining. And I always tell you, I have no time for whining. The only whining I like is Chardonnay. The challenge here is to understand yourself, to be compassionate for yourself, to set your boundaries with yourself. If you don't do it, who is going to do it? If you live alone and you don't pick up around the house and put your clothes away that you've just thrown on the floor, or take the trash out or wash the dishes, who's going to do it? And so it is the same with your own development. The number two is very sensitive, very intuitive. It's the yin of the yang. And therefore, do not give your power away. You are divine. Your challenge is to allow yourself to feel the hurt, face to face the challenge, take a deep breath, chins up, shoulders back, and westward ho the wagons. The motto in my company is onward and upward. 2 steps forward, 1 step back. You do not have to be liked by everyone. You only need to be liked by yourself. This is the lesson to learn. You then will not find yourself in the moody blues. You will not find yourself in the state of exhaustion because you've run around trying to please everybody so that they like you. You like yourself. You set your boundaries. You gently and tactfully say the word no. No, I don't feel comfortable with that. No, that doesn't work for me. It's okay. And the most important thing is to be in gratitude. We're stepping now into the beautiful holiday of Thanksgiving. I love Thanksgiving. And I've heard a lot of people say Thanksgiving. And it's a time to say thanks. Well, tonight we're going to talk about gratitude, and maybe in a different way than you would think I would be talking about gratitude. But we're also not entering into just the holiday season of Thanksgiving. But we're entering into a very active holiday season of entertaining, of parties, of dinner parties, of luncheons at other people's homes. And hopefully, you will be invited. It's unfortunate that we don't show gratitude along these lines. This is a big issue, and it is amazing to me how people do not express gratitude. Think about this. If you were giving a dinner party for your friends, you would think about them and what you want to cook for them. Then you would go, after the menu was developed, you would go grocery shopping, and you would spend money to make them happy, and then you might even get them gifts for the dinner party, and your whole mindset, do this, not just me, but a host does this. If you're invited to someone's house any time, but especially in this party season that we are now moving into, you need to back it up and think about the person that is inviting you to their house. It's not a quick fix. There's mental, physical, emotional preparation in your honor that they are devoting their energies for you to enjoy. They're thinking about you. What are you going to do? Over the years, I have given so many dinner parties. About 35 years of dinner parties. Luncheons. I like to cook. I love to entertain. My dinner parties and my parties, period, are events. But that's me. But it's also every host. Mentally, physically, financially, emotionally. Preparing the good life for you. I cannot tell you how many people, to this very day, I invite to my home. They show up, they sit down, they eat, we have a good time, they go home. They have missed gratitude. So I share with you some etiquette, yes, but I also share with you, with the intention of gratitude, some suggestions just might put into practice, always, but especially in the holiday season. When you walk in the door, when you are invited to someone's home, it is proper etiquette to take a hostess gift. You do not have to walk in with a diamond tennis bracelet. But if that hostess or host cared enough about you to invite you and put all the effort in to make you happy, why can't you show your appreciation, walk in the door with a bouquet of flowers? And folks, if you stop by and you get a big bunch of flowers, do not walk in the door with that bunch of flowers in cellophane. No. Packy, packy, packy. Go to the dollar store, Dollar Tree. You get a pack of ribbons for a season, yellow for spring, red for Christmas, and a dollar. And you take that bouquet of flowers and you put a bow on it. And if you really are into it, Take a vase, too. Or a bottle of wine. A lot of people will bring a bottle of wine. Not everybody, it's kind of ordinary, but everybody doesn't like wine. Or take something that you know that they like and put it in one of those inexpensive little wine bags. Make it special. The thing of it is special. You're going to be treated special. The preparation is special. You do your part in a gratitude of special. If you like to bake, bake a loaf of whatever. Get a jar of fancy jams and preserves. Put it in there and put a little note in. Put a note in there. Or a box of chocolates if you know that something. You walk in that door with something. Plus a smile on your face. And thank you for inviting me. This is simply etiquette, but I cannot tell you people, how many people who have come to my house do not do this. We have a great time. I love them. Most of them get invited back. Not everybody, but most of them do. Now the party's over. They're out the door. I cannot tell you. And you don't do this anymore either. While you're at the Dollar Tree, you get yourself a pack of printed thank you notes. And you keep them in your house, in your home. I know this isn't numerology, but this is gratitude. Gratitude in the Thanksgiving spirit. And when you get home, you take out one of those cards, you personally write inside that card, preferably in black ink, thank you for the party or whatever, and pick out one particular thing, if you have it, that you particularly liked at that party that you were at, and you sign your name and whatever, and you address the envelope, and you put a stamp on it, and you send it in the mail, and you do not send an email, and the least you can do is pick up the phone the next day and call. Those cards should go out within 24 hours. It's etiquette, proper etiquette. People don't do it. Gratitude. I appreciate what you did. I particularly like this. And I hope that we can visit again. In the mail. I give birthday parties for friends. I don't even get a phone call the next day. Thank you for giving me a birthday party. What is that about? Where is this gratitude? Where is the energy that says thank you? And so in the spirit of Thanksgiving, I'm saying to you, thank you. Thank you for listening to me, first of all. Because you can tell I get a little worked up about this. I don't think it's right. Of course, who am I to say what's right or wrong? But these are good people. You're a good person. My friends are good people. But for some reason, thank you doesn't come through their mouth. There's no effort put behind. Come in, we eat, they leave, done. All the effort that was put in from the host to the guest does nothing. The universe does not like that. You will get energetically from the universe what you give. Give and you shall receive. So if your life is not exactly the way you want it to be, if you are not necessarily the happy camper, living in abundance, living in kindness being shown to you, living in prosperity, I want you to sit yourself down, especially in our spirit of Thanksgiving. And ask yourself, how much do I give? How much do I give? Or am I always taking? The universe likes balance. Up and down, back and forth, black and white, yin and yang. Maybe you're out of balance in your giving, in your thanking. When you wake up in the morning, every morning, the first words out of your mouth should be, thank you, God. First of all, for waking up, but thank you for a new day. Thank you for the eyes to see the sunrise. Thank you for the ears to hear the wind. Thank you for the sense of smell. Thank you for the legs to walk. Thank you for my healthy body. The more thank yous and gratitude that you send to the universe will thank you back. It will never fail. Thought is energy. Thought is energy. Behavior is believable. To say to your partner, I love you, I love you, I love you, and not put behavior behind it is a fake. Be good to yourself. Thank yourself. Thank yourself. You've come this far. It may not be the most spiffy doodle right now, but if you've come this far, and if you put your hand in Mother, Father, God's hand with an energy and an attitude of gratitude for the smallest things, the big things will come. And if anyone does kindnesses for you, I'm asking you, please, show gratitude. Thank you to the teller. Thank you to the mechanic. Thank you to your host and hostess. Thank you to your friend. Think small. Think small. Think details. Think joyful. And God will totally, totally bring it back 100%. I would love for you to go to my websites, ElizabethSummers.com, TheMagicalWorldOfNumbers.com. Sign up for my newsletters. Read the articles that I've written on my website. And sign up for the readings. Have a numerology reading where I combine astrology and tarot. And of course, the ancient number codes. What is happening in your life, 1015? We got to find out. Just go to that black bar, click on numerology readings. There's a drop down. I've explained everything. It's very simple. And be in touch with me. I'm also a medium. I love to chat with spirits that have crossed into spirit. I'm that middle person. And they come bebopping into my office, and I tell my client what they're telling me to say, and we have a delightful time. Everything is recorded. It is time for me to get on my magic carpet and fly out of the magical world of numbers. Thank you, thank you, thank you for being with me tonight on the eve of the beautiful holiday of Thanksgiving. Be in peace. Treat yourself well. Love you first, and then the universe will love you back. And so until next week, know that I send you God's white light and his peace and his harmony. And know that I wish you all good things. And thank you so much for the honor of visiting with me one more time in the magical world of numbers.